The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Mark.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
As Jesus was setting out on a journey, a man ran up and knelt before him and asked him, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but God alone. You know the commandments: you shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, you shall not defraud. Honor your father and mother." He said to him, "Teacher, I have kept all these since my youth." Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said, "You lack one thing. Go and sell what you own and give the money to the poor. And you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me." When he heard this, he was shocked and went away grieving, for he had many possessions. Then Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, "How hard it will be for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God." And the disciples were perplexed at these words. But Jesus said to them again, "Children, how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of the needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God." They were greatly astounded and said to one another, "Then who can be saved?" Jesus looked at them and said, "For mortals it is impossible, but not for God. For God all things are possible." Peter began to say to him, "Look, we have left everything and followed you." Jesus said, "Truly I tell you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or fields for my sake and for the sake of the good news who will not receive 100-fold in this age houses, brothers or ancestors and mothers and children and fields with persecutions, and in the age to come life everlasting. But many who are first will be last, and the last will be first." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
In the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. For a long while now, I have been fascinated by what a life lived in God's grace looks like. We live in a world that encourages self-dependency, self-love, self-will, self-seeking, and it appears normal to us. Yet it is very unchristian-like, the very opposite of life in the grace of God. And Paul said, and this is what I've been learning from Paul, to figure out what is a life that is lived in the grace of God. And Paul said that he has learned to be content with whatever he has, to have little or to have plenty. He also said, "For Christ's sake, I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish so that I may gain Christ." So we begin to see a picture of a person living in God's grace. So I took a look into the Old Testament to see what the grace of God looked like. How is it when it is at work? So in the time of Noah, everyone else drowned, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Why him? Why him? Okay. Moses was saved from mass murder and was raised by Pharaoh's daughter. He was as flawed as people come, arrogant and stubborn and doubtful. Yet God faithfully walked with this man. And that's God's grace right there. Unmerited favor. Joseph was despised by his half-brothers. So he was sold into slavery, wrongly accused, left to rot in prison, and yet he saw a different picture of God's purpose to rescue his people from famine. And how about King David? What can we say? He was called the man after God's own heart, despite a series of wrongdoings, but God saw his repentant heart, and that's grace. And God walked with him. You know how God loved David, King David, don't you? So that's God's grace. And the Bible is full of examples of humans who sin and a God who forgives. Human who run away and a God who pursues. Human who don't deserve grace and a God who gives it anyway. God is so gracious to us, even when we are stubborn and rebellious in our ways. Have you tried to see when someone has been annoying to you, and still God blesses everyone, the bad and the good, God blesses everyone. There is rain is falling in Iraq and in Iran, and it falls also in the United States, so you can have crop. God loves everybody. And our readings today touch on this very subject and seek to teach us about how vital it is for Christian believers to live, to remain, to stand in God's grace. Because without Christ, we can do nothing. And that's in John chapter 15. Okay, here we go. Are we any different from all these biblical examples that I gave you? We are redeemed and flawed individuals in great need of God's grace and mercy. Just in case you thought you were, I got it. I will be in. You know, check this out. In everything we do in our life, we either built this perishable kingdom, this one here we can see, or we built the unperishable kingdom in heaven, the spiritual one that we can't see with our eyes. We need to be aware that what we do in this life have eternal consequences. And this is why the prophet Amos says to us, love to do good and hate what is evil. It may be that the Lord God of hosts will be gracious to the remnant of Joseph. And you remember, the prophet Amos is talking about God's words because people have been just complacent and so nice, and they forgot the poor and the needy. They don't want to have anything to do with them, and then still want to think that they are right with God. And the prophet Amos is telling them, you're not in good books with God. You've got to take care of the poor and the needy. And this, I found this to be an excellent prayer in this evil time, but also a good way for us to learn to live in God's grace. And the Jewish people, I love when they say this, maybe the Lord will be gracious to us. Won't you do what is good? Won't you hate what is evil? Won't you do what is good? Do good to the poor. Maybe the Lord of heaven will be gracious to you. So today, when we come to Holy Communion, pray for the grace of God to be in our midst. I plead with you earnestly. Pray. Satan loves to attack those who are in the Lord. So pray for God's grace to be with us. And if God forgave you, so also forgive others. Largely and freely and always. It will be hard, I'm sure. Forgive their faults. Forgive their insults. The injustices. Forgive. And delight in God's presence. Delight in the grace of God. Pray for the grace of God to remain in our families, in the families of our church. Pray for us to dwell in God's presence and to live in his grace, which enable us to live lives that are worthy of him. And I saw this great same conversation between Jesus and the rich young ruler. What can I do to inherit the kingdom of God? The rich young ruler wanted to be sure that he was in. So, do we have checklist people here? Yeah, I know. Those who have the habit to make sure things are done and done correctly. And Jesus' response may appear to be harsh to us, but it points us to our own priorities. And Jesus said, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than a rich person to enter God's kingdom. And that's kind of damning, because who is not rich here? Who's not rich here? You have a place to live and you have food to eat tonight and you're not worried about tomorrow. We are all rich and we fall into this category. And this man was told, go and sell all your possessions and give the proceeds to the poor. He must have been astonished, to say the least. And this issue is ours as well. What we do that we cherish the most, more than our God? Could it be that it is an obstacle to us to go into the kingdom of God? Trust in God alone instead of self-dependence. Rich or poor, trust in God. Do not let anything come between you and your relationship with God. And instead of self-love, seek God's love. And instead of self-will, seek God's will. Instead of self-seeking, go for self-denial, because Christ did everything on the cross. Lord, sanctify us with your truth. Help us dwell in your presence tonight and forever. Help us to dwell in your grace and mercy. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.